Walaikum salam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh, Mulana, to you and the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Through the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has given us an opportunity this morning, this wonderful Sunday morning, to present our program, Bilad al-Muslimin, the land of the Muslims. We are busy with the country, Bosnia and Herzegovina. Over the past few weeks, we discussed the location of the Bosnia and Herzegovina, its geography and the history from the time of antiquity till up to the rule of the Ottoman Empire, and then with the collapse of the Soviet Union, the genocide that came into being in 1992. But before we go to that, Mulana, through my research, I've come across a very interesting personality, Marhum's Lieutenant General Javed Nasir of Pakistan. And it is very interesting that this personality of Islam, a hero of the Bosnian War, which very few of us knew about. And I just want to discuss his life a little bit so that we get some perspective on the heroes of Muslims who participated and stood up with the current war in Gaza. We see that the Muslim countries tragically do not participate in uplifting the genocide that is being perpetrated by the Zionist state in Palestine. But we had, you know, as we had Salahuddin during the 12th century, we had during the Bosnian genocide also a personality in Pakistan by the name of Lieutenant General Javed Nasir. He was a three-star general in the army, and he was born on the 22nd of December 1936, and he passed away on the 16th of October 2024. That is just a year ago, practically. He was made Director General of the Inter Services Intelligence, that is the agency of Pakistan, from 14th of March 1992 to 13th of May 1993. We will see that this was only a period of 13 months. In that 13 months, through the grace and mercy of Allah, to subhanahu wa ta'ala, marhum Javed Nasir rahmatullah alayhi, carried out so many activities. He was in many circles. He was regarded as a maverick general and very dedicated to Islam and to Pakistan, and would not compromise on the principles of Islam. He was appointed as the Director General of the ISI, and it was only in the history of Pakistan that he was fully bearded. And this was the taboo in the ISI, that no person with a beard would ever become Director General of this agency. But General Javed Nasir was the first to do so, and till today he holds that record, alhamdulillah. While he was a member of Director General of the ISI, he joined the Tabligh Jamaat and gave exemplary speeches regarding holding on steadfastly to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He defied the UN arms embargo against Bosnia and Herzegovina by airlifting the Pakistan Army's sophisticated anti-tank guided missiles, which helped the Bosnian Muslims to force the Serbs to lift the siege over the whole country, much to the annoyance of the US government. While airlifting anti-tank guided missiles to Bosnia, to the Bosnian Muslims, he also pushed the Pakistani government to allow Bosnian immigration to Pakistan. In the military and political circles, General Nasir, Rahmatullah Ali, had a reputation to be a practicing Muslim who would not compromise on the interests of Islam in Pakistan. In 1992-1993, that is in that period of 13 months, Marhum General defied the UN's arms embargo on Bosnia and Herzegovina. As we said earlier, when he airlifted the anti-tank guided missiles to help the Bosnian Muslims to force the Serbs to lift the siege to the annoyance of the U.S. government. In 2011, the International Criminal Tribunal for the former Yugoslavia demanded the custody of the former ISI director for his alleged support of the inter-services intelligence activities in Bosnia and Herzegovina to Muslim fighters of Bosnia against the Serbian army in the 1990s. The government of Pakistan refused to hand Nasir to the UN tribunal, citing poor health. And alhamdulillah, the chairman of Joint Chief of Staff, Shamim Alam, had completely lost control of the ISI when the agency was running under Nasir's command. General Abdul Wahid Kakar, the army chief at the time, had been at odds with Lieutenant General Nasir due to his preaching of Islamic tradition in the military. How we wish that this should be happening in Pakistan at this stage. We would see that some help would have definitely come to the Gazan people in Palestine. In the views of senior military officers in the Pakistan military and the civilian officials in the Ministry of Defense, Lieutenant Nasir was often a figure of fun whose intellect was far from being as outstanding. And he was regarded as someone who was very intelligent and could analyze things to its finest details. During this time, the Indian government, led by Prime Minister P.V. Narasimha Rao, leveled several accusations against him of supporting the Khalistan movement, the Indian Mafia, and Daud Ibrahim. The accusations he swiftly denied in 2008. At home, Nasir began facing accusations from Pakistan People's Party politicians for supporting the conservative Islamic agenda in the country. In 1993, the United States formally registered their complaints when the U.S. Secretary of State, James Baker, had written a memo to Pakistan Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif, putting his country on a terror watch list and was in danger of being listed as a terrorist supporting nation. Responding to the complaint, General Sharif used diplomacy when he sent his Foreign Secretary Shahryar Khan and Pakistan Senator Akram Zaki to the United States, assuring of Pakistan's policy of not supporting militancy in the region. During this time, several Arab countries such as Egypt, Tunisia, Algeria, and Philippines lodged a strong protest against Nasir of supporting radical movements in their respected countries. And these were all organizations that were being supported by General Nasir to gain their freedoms from the dictators and authoritarian rule that was being followed in these countries. Following the Prime Minister of removal of Prime Minister Sharif, the caretaker Prime Minister Balakh Sher Mazari fired and sacked Nasir from the directorship of the ISI, and the president of Pakistan, Ghulam Ishaq Khan, approved his premature retirement from his military commission, effective on 13th May 1993. He only led the ISI for 13 months. Upon Nasir's dismissal, the new DG ISI Qazi eventually led the massive arrests of thousands of Arab Afghans and forced the Al-Qaeda to relocate itself in Afghanistan permanently. After expulsion from Pakistan, many escaped to Bosnia to participate in the war. according to many political commentators and journalists, Nasser's firing from the ISI was not at the behest of the United States, but it was the friendly Arab countries' protest and pressure at the Organization of Islamic Cooperation that resulted in his departure from the ISI and the retirement from his 40-year-long service with the military, alhamdulillah. You remember once we discussed General Hamid Ghul also during the time of General Ziaul Haq. He was also one of those conservative, so-called conservative Islamic director generals of the ISI, and General Nasir Rahmatullah Alayhi was another one. Alhamdulillah, it was the help of General Nasir that helped the Bosnians overcome some of the challenges that were being posed by the Serbs in their genocidal attempt against the Bosnians. After his premature retirement, General Nasir Rahmatullah Alayhi became a member of the Tabligh Jamaat and went to the private sector, where he managed and chaired the private equity firm and hedge fund Evacuate Transport when he was appointed in July 1997. In 1998, he was appointed chairman of the Pakistan Sikh Gurdwara Prabandh Committee, an organization that was promoting the well-being of Sikhs in Pakistan as well as pilgrimages from abroad. Through effective management of the trust properties, he generated 1.17 billion rupees in revenue in a single year, exceeding the combined total of his four predecessors. Recognizing the misallocation of diaspora donations that were previously diverted to India via the Indian Sikh Gurdwara Committee, Nasser invoked a Sikh religious injunction that mandated donations to remain with the intended Gurdwara, that is the organization of the Sikhs. This reform redirected significant funds to Pakistani shrines. Under his leadership, several Sikh shrines in Pakistan, which had long suffered from neglect and decay, received restoration. In October 1998, Nawaz Sharif, the Prime Minister, appointed him as his intelligence advisor, but his appointment remained for a short period of time. For some time, he served on the security details as head of security for the Sharif family, but the PMLN's lawmakers and Sharif family cut off their links and distanced themselves from Nasser after the 9/11 attacks in the United States. In 2002 and 2003, Nasser filed a lawsuit at the Anti-Terrorism Court against the media corporations, the Daily Jung and News International, for character defamation. In 2007, he appeared on Geo News and denied any allegations of terror supporting that was leveled at him during this time as the director of the ISI, when he was interviewed by Iftikhar Ahmad. At his detailed hour-long interview, he was of the view that 9/11 was an inside job, alhamdulillah. And today we see the proof coming out that it was in effect an inside job, and maintained his stance on suppressing of the free energy by U.S. and Pakistani government. In 2011, the International Criminal Tribunal for the former Yugoslavia demanded the custody of Nasir for his alleged authorization of the covert program to support the Bosnian army against the Serbian army in the 1990s. The government, as we said earlier, of Pakistan refused to have Nasir to the UN tribunal, citing poor health and memory loss due to a road accident. In 2013, Nasser reportedly spoke against the Afghan Taliban and the terrorism and the Supreme Court convention, and criticized the Taliban as an armed violent group and they're supporting the violent terrorism for their cause in a response to a church bombing. He died in Lahore on the 16th of October, 2024, at the age of 87. Allah Ta'ala give him the highest stages in Jannat to Firdaus. Alhamdulillah, Maulana, we have in this age and time also people who adhere to the Islamic tenets and are convinced that the liberation of our Muslim lands starts with our Muslim minds and the jihad that we have to take forward. We continue with our story on Bosnia and Herzegovina, and now we have come to the genocide of 1992. With the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1989, the various groups in Yugoslavia, the Slovenes, the Croats, the Serbs, and with the Montenegrins, declared their independence. When the Muslims of Bosnia and Herzegovina, under the leadership of Elijah Izetbegovic, sought to declare their independence, the Serbs, under the leadership of Radovan Karadzic in Bosnia and Herzegovina, opposed the move. Slobodan Milosevic was the leader of the newly declared independent state of Serbia. In 1992, Milosevic, Karadzic, and their militia commander Ratko Mladic initiated a systematic ethnic cleansing and genocide against the Muslims of former Yugoslavia. By the end of the year, the Muslims in Bosnia and Herzegovina had lost 90% of their territory to the Serbs. That is 70% to the Serbs and 20% to the Croats. Millions of Muslims became refugees ala Palestine as village after village was cleansed of Muslims and overtaken by the Serb Chetnik militias and the Ustashi, the Croatian fascist troops. Thousands of Muslims were slaughtered, among them the deputy prime minister of the Muslims, Ahija Turalcik, who was shot at point-blank range at the Serb roadblock while being escorted by a French army contingent. The forced expulsion of the Muslims resulted in more than 200 villages of the Muslims being destroyed. The Muslims were imprisoned or killed in prisons set up in Bosnia and Herzegovina by the Serbs. Karadzic and Mladic were at the head of the butchering of the Muslims, and they were still free while the genocide was taking place. Later, Karadzic and Mladic were arrested by the International Criminal Court and were sentenced to practically life imprisonment. More than half the population of Bosnia and Herzegovina was displaced in the civilian genocide carried out by the Croats and the Serbs. Izetbegovic, the leader of the Muslims, was helpless. The British Foreign Secretary, Douglas Hurd, the European Union envoy, Lord David Owen, and the United States Representative, Cyrus Vance, scuttled his appeals for arms to defend the Muslims. And this is where General Nasser came into, that he was flying flights under the radar over the mountains and into the forests of Bosnia and Herzegovina, where the anti-tank guided missiles were dropped, and these were then used against the tanks of the Serbs. Muslims, between 1992 and 1995, 250,000 Muslims were massacred in the genocide and ethnic cleansing. It was only in 1995 that the Serbs admitted that Radislav Bristic, a Bosnian Serb general, was responsible for the massacre of 8,000 Muslims in Srebrenica. The massacre was the worst defenseless civilian atrocity since World War II. And now we see what is happening in Gaza and Palestine also, where 83% of those who had been killed were civilians, according to the United Nations also. And this the Zionist state is denying also. The logic of their refusal to supply arms to the Muslims was so concocted that it allowed the pursuit of the genocide by the Serbs with impunity. The classic logic for refusal was that the supply of arms to the Muslims would only prolong the civilian atrocities, and it would be a better option to allow the genocide to burn itself out of its own momentum. In layman's language, let the Serbs annihilate all the Muslims and free Europe from the indignity of having a Muslim majority state on its soil. On the 17th of April 1993, the Serb militia entered the city of Srebrenica, United Nations designated Serb area, safe area, that was under the supervision of a Dutch peacekeeping force under the auspices of the United Nations. And under their protection, that is under the protection of the Dutch peacekeeping force, the Serbs started massacring men, women, and children. Now, the women were raped and then buried alive or killed and buried in mass graves. More than 2,000 Muslims were massacred in this frenzy of genocide and madness. This madness reminds one of the Srebra and Shatila massacres carried out by the phalangist sycophants of the Zionists under the acquiescence of the mass murderer Ariel Sharon. The other safe havens in Tuzla and Sepa were also not spared the genocide. On a famous bridge across the Drina River, 1,000 Muslim men, women, and children were chopped to pieces and thrown into the river just because they dared to swear the Shahada, the Muslim affirmation of faith. Moreover, what action did the international community and the United Nations take, and the Muslims also, Muslim countries? The imposition of an oil and trade embargo upon the Yugoslavians, now Serbia, so that Serbs in that country would compel the Serbs in Bosnia and Herzegovina to refrain from attacking the Muslims. Where Muslims are involved, the United Nations and the Western world do not care much for their safety and security or indulge in delaying tactics until their aims and interests are achieved. The response of the Muslims under Eliza Izetbegovic was the establishment of a multi-ethnic and democratic Bosnia and Herzegovina, while the Croats and the Serbs in the country called for the further Balkanization of the country, not incorporation into the states that they already had declared. The genocide continued into 1994. The Serbs obstructed all overtures for peace made by the Muslims and belatedly by the Croats. The same scenario is playing out in Palestine also, where the Netanyahu and his right-wing extremist Zionist terrorist government is hindering the signing of the peace that Hamas has accepted, and the war continues even with the approval of the Muslim countries and the United States and European nations. They hijacked the aid convoys to deprive Muslims of food and medicine. Muslim cities such as Gorazde, Tuzla, Prijedo, Banja Luka, and Bihać were shelled on a daily basis, notwithstanding the presence of the peacekeeping forces deployed by the United Nations and the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. For 10 days at the beginning of winter, water, electricity, and gas supplies to the capital of Sarajevo was cut off. The United Nations reaction to this atrocity: more sanctions imposed upon the Serbs. Only when the Serbs with impunity began attacking the United Nations and NATO peacekeepers, mainly Westerners, did NATO begin strafing the Serb militias. The Muslims were still not given arms to defend themselves. The militias also hijacked the contingent of 370 United Nations peacekeepers. The NATO response was to bomb ammunition dumps of the militias and their positions around the capital Sarajevo and the cities of Mostar, Pale and Golestan. Under pressure from Britain, France, Germany and the United States of America, Marhum Eliza Izetbegovic was to reluctantly accept a United States of America crafted peace plan. The Muslim world was again helpless and accepted whatever was dished out to them. The crumbs from the table of the imperialists. The arrogant Serbs still insisted on Sarajevo belonging to them. The choice for Eliza Izetbegovic Marhum Rahmatullah Alayh was very limited. The complete annihilation or the assimilation of the Muslims in Bosnia and Herzegovina, or a semblance of Muslim presence in control to partial of their own destiny in Europe. We opted for the latter, and we will see what the partition plan is. Inshallah, Mulana, we have come to the end of our program. We trust that you and the listeners will have a wonderful week coming ahead. We're going into the month of Rabi al-Awwal, the month in which the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. And what an auspicious month that is. Allah Ta'ala may give us the hidayat to follow in the footsteps of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To you and the listeners once again, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and jazakumullah khairal jaza fid darain for your valuable time and valuable information that you share with us on a Sunday morning when most people would rather be relaxed and left alone. May Allah Azza wa Jalla shower His choicest blessings upon you for your sacrifice. We now get into our